It surely is a privilege for me to share with you tonight. I've never done this before, like a Good Friday night, and share. So thank you to our pastors for the trust that they have in me. I'm very touched by the fact that I can be here, and I'm not gonna share much, but anyway. I'm here, and I praise the Lord for it. And before we go ahead and listen to what I have to say, let's pray, and we'll continue on looking into the Word. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that you are here with us. We thank you that your greatness and your sovereignty is unimaginable. And we thank you, Father, for what you are going to do tonight. And we thank you that you have things all under control and we can trust you and rely on you. We thank you, Lord, for all what you have done for us till this hour, and we thank you that we can meet as a church and we can remember, Lord, what happened 2,000 years ago. So, Lord, thank you for this time now. Help me as I share your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a short devotional here, and I have a PowerPoint, which I have meant to be like a summary. So after this, then we'll have that PowerPoint. And then we'll have Dennis come up for, he'll lead the communion. As I was thinking about coming here and sharing with you tonight, I kept on thinking about the sovereign God, the almighty, the all-powerful, just the amazing God that we have. And these days, I don't know, I've mentioned this to you. I am part of a, I would call it like a little community of internet WhatsApp. I don't know if you know what WhatsApp is. That's a group, that's an internet group on our smartphones. And I'm part of a group, and we have it's like my alumni from my high school in Holland many years ago, and we have they come in and they chat, and some of them are very strong Muslims, and some of them share some Muslim stuff. That's my first group. The second group is a group of older guys. They are like 70 plus, almost 80, early 80s, you know. They were my seniors in Yugoslavia. Some of them are doctors. Some of them are engineers. They're pretty high up, but they're already retired now. But they have this WhatsApp group. And this second group, they are very strong Muslims. And I get these stuff, you know. I get this Muslim stuff in Arabic, in the language, you know, and they send stuff, and I'm like, poor guys, you know. I pity them. I pity them because they don't know anything better. I mean, they're totally lost. And here I come to church. I'm so encouraged because I'm singing. You know, I lead singing on Sundays. I'm encouraged, like even singing the hymns tonight. I'm so encouraged because that lifts my heart up. Can you imagine those guys, where they are going? They are not going anywhere, but they're going to go to hell. And it's terrible. And they have not heard the gospel. They have not heard of the fact that Jesus died on that terrible cross for them 2,000 years ago. They are totally lost. And as I was thinking about this, you know, I was like, boy, praise the Lord. I can look back. It's a very sad occasion that we are looking back to, but still, you know, after what happened on Friday, we know all what happened on Sunday, right? So tonight, as we contemplate what happened that day of Jesus' crucifixion, I want us to see a few verses that have encouraged me as I endeavor to try to put things into perspective and to challenge those in our midst. If there are still people in our midst that haven't placed their trust in Jesus, I'm speaking to you, because I really think that this time, as we contemplate what happened to the Lord Jesus, we really need to understand the gospel. We really need to understand that Jesus really died for us. And he was buried, and he was raised up on the third day. But that death that he died, it was terrible. So I'm going to read to you the first verse of Psalms 22. That was written by King David. It says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? You know, Psalm 22, I believe there's about seven prophecies there about that day that Jesus was crucified. I think so. I'm not quite sure now. But this first verse of Psalm 22, it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And this prophecy of David was fulfilled in Matthew 27:46. And I'll read it to you. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? See, that was the prophecy that David wrote in his Psalm number 22, which was fulfilled on that day Jesus died. And I believe when Jesus said these words, you know, that was like that was the worst hour of his crucifixion, because he was on the cross. And I kind of imagined that maybe when those Roman soldiers were nailing his legs, that was probably the time when Jesus cried out these words. It was terrible. And I read, you might have read this before in your own reading, you know, a doctor's account of how a man dies on the cross. Has anybody read that? It's terrible. And I've read that many years ago, and I found that on the internet, and I had to read that again. And boy, that was really tough for me to read. And I got kind of a little bit discouraged after reading all this, and I was thinking, no, I got to continue to remember God's sovereignty. And then I thought, well, you know, if you really look at the Bible, the real neat thing about this verse, Matthew 27:46, is that when you look at God's sovereignty and control, the verse found in the beginning of the Bible in Genesis 3:15, it says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. You see, this Matthew 27:46 was a fulfillment of what was written in Genesis 3:15. So, wow. You know, that's where, again, I looked at God, and I thought, he is almighty. He is all-knowing. He knows the whole big picture of what was going to happen. And I really learned a little bit more of this by the fact that, you know, Genesis 3:15, is being fulfilled here in this verse, Matthew 27:46. So the sovereign God in this drama, so to speak, of his only begotten son had control over the whole scenario. The big picture was in his hand. It was in his foreknowledge and predestination that what was prophesied in Genesis was to be fulfilled in Matthew 27:46, coinciding also with the 22nd Psalm of David. So, the conclusion is, God in his sovereign will and plan had in his mind the good of mankind. The salvation of mankind was on his mind right after the fall and the first sin of Adam and Eve in the garden. God had in his mind our eternal security long before this cruel and tragic crucifixion of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, happened. This tragic death of the Son of God was a victory over sin and death. This cruel and excruciatingly painful death of the Lord Jesus was to completely save us. Mankind needed to look back at the death on the cross and place his faith and trust in Jesus in order to be eternally saved, and saved not by any kind of works or following of the law of Moses, but mankind would be totally and eternally saved. That is why one of the final statements of Jesus on the cross was, "It is finished." Since Jesus said, "It is finished," what is it now that a person who is not sure of where he is going after he dies supposed to do? Your response should be to accept these words that are written and to accept this Jesus who is Savior, who came for you and me, sinners that are in need of salvation. Each week, this message is in different ways communicated to listeners here in this church, in different ways. But I want to stress that tonight to anybody here who has really not accepted and received the Lord Jesus, I would challenge him to do that. So the challenge now is for anyone who has not accepted Jesus, who died for you, to follow John 1:11-12. He says, John wrote, "He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." So now I want us to see that PowerPoint just as a conclusion, okay? You see, that was that first verse in Genesis that I mentioned. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." That is known to be the mini gospel. The second one is Psalms 22:1. My God, why have you forsaken me, and why are you so far from helping me? And from the words of my groaning." That's the NIV version of Psalms 22:1. Fulfilled prophecy in Matthew 27:46. "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?' That is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" So God's plan has worked out. The cruel death of his son on that cross was in the control of the Almighty God. Jesus died on the cruel cross for you and for me. And that is from that mini gospel that I showed, that gospel will eventually become the gospel of the grace of God that was taught by the Apostle Paul. And God's plan has worked out. The cruel death of his son on that cross was a substitute for me, a sinner. 1 John 2:2 says, "And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Now, this verse is a clear indication for the gospel of the grace of God to be sent out. This is a missionary verse, because the satisfaction of God's wrath was placed on Jesus Christ that night that he died. The satisfaction of God's wrath was placed on him, and he bore all our sins. And that is the news that we have to tell people, even our children who might still not understand. So we have to continue to tell about the gospel of the grace of God. What is our response? Are we going to accept these truths of the Bible and believe Jesus as personal Savior? Jesus died for you. Jesus died in your place. Have you ever thought of taking this personally? Now, these are questions that I thought that I would place on us here and on anybody here in our audience who has not placed their personal trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And by that, I'm ending this little devotional.